This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
9 o'clock on a Friday. It is Take-A-Mania time. We have the worst takes. We've been doing this for a couple of months now, and we had a new champion. The belt has been passed around a little bit more than it was for a while there. For a long time, Angelo Cataldi was the belt holder for worst take with his Andy Reid biggest fraud in American sports take that he had. Finally unseated by Emmanuel Acho, who held the belt for 1 week. And now Stephen A. Smith holds the belt. That's the lineage of the title. Ross Tucker, the original title holder. That was
the genesis.
We'll
have a tournament at the end of the year.
I can't wait.
Things change, and a lot of guys, you know, there is some teams surge towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
Right now, Cataldi's is a blue blood.
Yeah.
Cataldi's take is a blue blood. Yeah. It's going to take a Cinderella story to knock him off.
It's Mount Rushmore of this. He's a Mount Rushmore of Take-A-Mania. Yes.
Yeah.
So here's
look at these almost albums and how much time they spend at number one. One's gonna lose its luster for a little bit, but then at the end of the decade, when you say, okay, what are the albums of the decade?
Yeah.
You got to acknowledge the amount of time they spent at the top of the charts.
I'm keeping the list on the rundown, so don't worry, we've got the records of all this. So the current champion is Stephen A. Smith, who had this take back in early April, just days before Michael Malone, the Denver Nuggets head coach, got fired.
Here's my bold prediction. I think the Denver Nuggets are going to return to the NBA Finals. And I think it's going to be because of Russell Westbrook. I think Russell Westbrook being in that situation with them. We know what Jokic and Jamal Murray and Porter and Aaron Gordon could do. And congrats to Gordon for getting his dollars. He deserves it. But Russell Westbrook is going to do something for the Denver Nuggets, very positive, and infused a personality transplant to some degree. His competitive fervor, I think that's gonna be a huge, huge thing with Denver. And him feeding off that great, great crowd in Denver, I think that's going to be a huge deal that people are sleeping on. Russell Westbrook's impact on the Denver Nuggets.
This is the part that did it for me, because there's a part of me when I was listening to it, I was like, well, yeah, I mean, the wild card would be is if you get the very best version of Russell Westbrook in the playoffs. If you could get that, because he's done some good things for the Nuggets at times this year. It's just that you can't ignore the implosions, the times he's thrown a hand grenade into the team in the fourth quarter or what have you. There's no way that, and then the part that did it for me was the personality transfer. That somehow Russ's personality has been exactly what you want or need.
Yeah.
You know, and that oh yeah. He really, he's really emotional, and he really gets after it at times. Like, yeah, it's nice if by this age he would have learned how to channel it a little bit better.
You would think if it was that good, then the six previous teams that he'd played on in the last 5 years would have kept him around.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Kevin Durant wouldn't have run away from Oklahoma City because ultimately that personality transfer wasn't quite taking hold the way that Stephen A. Smith thinks it can.
And that you're saying it. Well, and two more things on this as to why this is a champion. Then we'll get to the challengers here. First of all, 3 days after that, Michael Malone got fired by the organization, the head coach, as did the GM. But Michael Malone got fired, and a big reason why, reportedly from multiple outlets, is that he showed favoritism to Russell Westbrook. He wanted to play Westbrook. The GM wanted him to play younger guys. So that's a bit silly to me. The other thing is, you're having this take in the playoffs. You were 2 weeks away from the playoffs even starting. So what you're saying is Russell Westbrook, somebody who can implode at any time, is going to be what gets you through the two-month slog that is the NBA Finals. Like, this isn't a Game 7 coming up tomorrow, and you're saying Russell Westbrook is the key. This is a two-month journey through four best-of-seven series, and you're saying that the seventh guy on the roster, this would be like somebody saying emphatically that Jabari Smith Jr. is the reason why the Rockets are going to be in the NBA Finals.
Right.
Love Jabari Smith Jr., but I'm guessing that Jalen Green, Amen Thompson, Alperen Şengün, and any of the other veteran guys that are on this team might wind up being bigger reasons. It's just silly. So that's the champion right now. We've talked about that enough. So here are the challengers. This is, speaking of Stephen A. Smith, this is Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Denver Nuggets. Stephen A. Smith had a take that Ishbia, the owner, not Denver Nuggets, sorry, Phoenix Suns, that the owner of the Phoenix Suns, who's fired now three coaches in 3 years, might end up being the worst owner in all of sports. Here's Ishbia addressing that.
Matt Şengün with Forbes. I'm sure you, over the last couple of days, probably saw a national reporter make some, you know, ridiculous statements about you might be being the worst team owner or worst owner in professional sports history. Just kind of wondering what your response is, if you have one.
Yeah, so Stephen A. Smith, you know, I don't take much he says seriously, you know. I don't think many people do, to be honest with you. You know, the things he said about Kevin Durant, just wrong and disrespectful. The things he said about LeBron James were just disrespectful and inappropriate. And so with that being said, I don't really think Stephen A. believes that, what he said. I think, you know, he's doing his thing. He's on the mic and he's doing what he does. And I think he'll apologize to me because I think it's disrespectful to put my name in, aligned with anybody that was kicked out of the league or no longer part. Like, yeah, if he wants to say for the first 2.5 years, Matt Ishbia bought the team, we didn't win a championship, I think you probably say about almost every owner ever. But yeah, we had high expectations and we didn't win. We spent a lot of money and we didn't win. Yep. Be critical of me on that. But to even say that kind of stuff, like I said, that's just, I think, like I said, he'll apologize. I think he's out of line. And I think he knows that. I don't think he really believes that.
Okay. And he's saying that Stephen A is going to apologize then. That was why I thought it was a bad take. Like, Stephen A ain't apologizing to you for that take or any take he has about
you. It's just almost, yeah, it feels almost a little bit like a young recruit in World War II being like, I'm just going to have a good time with my buddies over there.
Right.
Maybe sample the French wine a little bit or something. Yeah.
They'll shoot me in the leg, but they'll probably apologize afterwards.
They'll probably bow down to our American superiority and not even want to fight. Yeah. I don't know about that.
You know, the worst part about that cut was the very beginning. Ben, play the very beginning, the reporter asking the question again.
Matt Şengün with Forbes. Sure, you over the last couple of days probably saw a national reporter make some, you know, ridiculous statements about you might be.
Okay, pause it right there. You can make some sort of ridiculous statement, dude. You're the reporter. Just ask the question. Don't give your commentary on whether or not you think it's a ridiculous. You're trying to curry favor with the guy. You're with Forbes. That's a reputable outlet. Stop doing that. Is that a bad enough take by Ishbia that Stephen A. Smith would apologize to him to take down, ironically, Stephen A. Smith?
No.
I don't think so either. All right. Stephen A. kicks out. He's still the champ.
It's also, and you know how I am with these. Once, if you're trying to defend yourself or stick up for your team or something, I tend to, it's hard to have a really bad take when you're trying to defend your family and your home.
Yep.
And your billions and billions of dollars.
All right, next one. This is a good one here because this is Chandler Parsons kind of doing the same thing that Stephen A. Smith did with the champ, in which he's taking up for Russell Westbrook.
And obviously there was the big story of Pickett starting and Westbrook not playing as many minutes
scandalous.
And developing. That was this week.
Like, I know. It feels like forever.
But now the playoff series against the Clippers, against these other vet guys, if I'm Adelman, I'm going with Westbrook. Like
we're starting back.
And in a playoff series, I'm sorry, I'm trusting Russell Westbrook, a first ballot Hall of Famer, more than a Pickett.
Because you can tweak if you have to.
And again, you're gonna space it out. You're gonna get Pickett. You can start Pickett, but I feel like to close a game, to close a series, I'm going with Russell Westbrook.
Oh yeah, I'm going with the guy who loses his head and big moments here. That was, a very similar take to Stephen A. Smith. So this is an easy one. Chandler Parsons' bad take on Russell Westbrook, was it worse than Stephen A. Smith's take on Russell Westbrook?
Equally as bad. Yeah, it is. There's something about it that rubs me the wrong way just because it's this bowing down and kowtowing to the reputation of a player who is not
future
what he used
Hall
to be.
Of Famer.
Right. Yeah, somehow. You know what? Especially, you know, Chandler should know better in that, yeah. How about when you try to play Chris Paul heavy minutes?
Yeah.
And that was a guy who was currently still on a very good team and a very good player and everything. Yeah, the old guy. Push him to the brink
so he can
pull his hamstring at the end of the series.
All right, so Stephen A., if Seth has it as a draw, the champ retains. But go ahead, let's let him kick out, Ben. That's fine. All right, so Stephen A. remains the champion. Here's Deion Sanders. Here comes Coach Prime. He was asked about the jersey retirements, for which unto itself is a bad take by the University of Colorado. That might be the worst take of all, is the University of Colorado retiring two jerseys.
Or retiring Shedeur Sanders specifically.
Yeah.
You could have an argument about Travis Hunter. It's Shedeur Sanders. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or in general, a college team at all retiring jerseys always annoys me, because there's only so many damn numbers on that huge bloated college roster.
Yeah, they got 100 players on the roster. But it doesn't really fit the ethos of this segment. This is Deion Sanders defending the decision to retire the jerseys of Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders.
You know, retired jerseys can be a sore subject.
Not really.
Alums.
This is the first time I ever seen it sore. I don't know if you know it, but I'm retired. I think every jersey during that I played in is retired. So I'm pretty familiar with this. So it's never been sore.
But why do you think that? What was your message, like, maybe Buff Nation and Buff alums who are wondering?
I don't have a message. I'm praying for my AD. I love him to life, Rick George. Let's get the elephant out of the room. I don't want to talk about this too long. I'm going to just talk briefly and let it go. We're talking about Shedeur. We ain't talking about nobody else. But his last name wasn't Sanders. We wouldn't have this discussion. The only reason we were having this discussion is his last name is Sanders. Okay? That's it.
Okay.
Now, this might be art. This might be art for two reasons. Two things that he said specifically. One, this is the first time I've heard a jersey retirement being an issue.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. For one, no, not quite. People have talked about it before. But exactly.
Yeah.
This is like, hey, everybody always wants to talk about the time I murdered that hooker. And like nobody in this family has ever done it before. And yeah, your wife would say, yes, we're talking about it for the first time, because this is the first time anybody in this family has killed a hooker.
Has murdered a hooker, yes.
Yes. So, there's a reason it's the first time anybody's been making a big deal out of it.
Yep.
And then him saying, if his last name isn't Sanders, that's precisely the issue,
yes.
Deion.
Yeah.
Nobody, including any honest person at the University of Colorado, thinks that Shedeur Sanders' jersey would be worthy of retirement if it weren't all part of the Deion Sanders package.
Okay.
This is almost artful.
Okay.
And just how bad a take it is.
Okay.
Yes.
So does it pin Stephen A. Smith's take?
It pins Stephen A. Smith, and we still got one more to go in this round.
Okay. Here we go. We got a new champ. And his name is Deion Sanders.
He spoke four sentences and self-owned himself in two of them. Right?
I love it. Yes.
Oh,
it
yeah.
Did.
Like, oh, hey.
I couldn't wait for you to hear this take, man.
Hey, there's an asteroid 7 miles wide that's going to hit Manhattan tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, well, this is the first time I've ever heard this be a big deal. Like,
right.
Yeah. When unique and weird things happen, people tend to talk about
Name
it.
Name all the other asteroids that have hit
Earth. Oh, it's like, all of a sudden we care about asteroids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one. This is a sports-related take because Angel Reese is the guest, but the actual take is from the host of the podcast.
Krishan Rock, musician and podcaster, influencer, and what have you.
Yeah, she had Angel Reese on her podcast, and this was their exchange on the WNBA players making so much less income-wise than NBA players.
See, for women's sports.
Us getting paid our worth.
Period.
Like, yeah, cause you're doing exactly what LeBron is doing. So, what's going on?
Sis, I don't like got the money for us just yet, but it's coming. It's coming.
Is it? I don't understand.
It's a lot. It's a lot that goes into it. But it's coming. Trust me, it's coming.
It's a lot that goes into it. Like TV ratings.
Angel Reese, like, kind of laughed, like, chortled when she compared Angel Reese to LeBron James.
Yeah.
So I give Angel Reese credit for that. And Krishan Rock is not she doesn't, I don't think, probably know much about sports for her to just at least not have any understanding at all of why there might be a difference.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll say two things in response to that. One, I credit Angel Reese. Now, Angel Reese has been among the most vocal WNBA players about how inequitable the pay is.
Right,
so that's what makes her, like, even she, who's been among the most vocal, realizes, like, that's a silly take.
Well,
that you
right,
do the
right.
same thing as LeBron.
Yeah,
you know?
And like there's parts of this where I just flat out, it's almost like there can be bad take elements to this, but I just don't feel like it's worth the heat. We need to point this out. Krishan Rock, some of you may have seen this a few months ago on social media. The incredibly annoying and hard to figure out her success, Bobby Althoff, the podcaster.
Yeah.
She interviewed Krishan Rock. And this is Bobby Althoff interviewing Krishan Rock.
I didn't know that about you.
What do you know?
That you're a musician. But that's why I'm interviewing you today, so I can get to know you.
So I'm a musician.
Mm-hmm.
What the f*** that mean? Make magic or something? What is musician?
I think you're confusing that.
Yeah, I'm not no musician. I make music. I make music. And that's not all I do. I make music. I act. I'm a TV star, too. A young mogul. Uh-huh.
Just really quick, I think you're confusing.
I'm not confusing nothing because you don't know. You thought that all I was a magician or whatever the f*** you said.
See, that's what I think you think I said.
No,
I said musician, magician.
I don't think, baby. But I don't think.
I almost feel like she's disqualified from any take a mania heat. She's just
I don't
there.
Know. Can the listeners tell me whether that was a bit
staged,
or not?
Yeah.
I saw so many people. This is one thing we do as Gen X, Sean. I've noticed. So I'm very careful. I try to be very careful about it, you know, believing every video I see of stupid people being stupid. We love to criticize the younger people for not being understanding sarcasm or irony. Mm-hmm. Yet we're the first one to jump on some skit somebody does on social media and say, "This is everything that's wrong with these people today. These kids just don't understand." And like it's a skit. It's
so that could
yeah.
be a bit they were doing right there. You're saying
it
went
yeah.
over our heads.
This Bobby Althoff, I can't figure out her old deal
yeah.
anyway. She's
yeah.
one of these monotone social media people that
yeah.
I'm too old to get it, so
yeah.
I don't know. I'll just say that Krishan Rock has been out there before with curious takes. And this, because the current one doesn't even come close to her not understanding the difference between musician and magician.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, she's not going to pin.
She's not going to pin Deion Sanders.
Deion, yeah.
Okay. Deion kicks out. So Deion's our new champion. The other thing, just back to the Krishan Rock, you do what LeBron does. That would be like she is, I'm assuming, a very successful podcaster.
Yeah.
That would be
yeah.
like
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Picking some rando local basketball podcast and saying, "Oh, you do the same thing Krishan Rock does. Why don't you make more from your MMA podcast or
right,
your Texans
yeah,
podcast,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like that's no, there's Krishan. There are people that do what you do, but not nearly to the extent. Should they get paid the same amount as you, you know?
Yeah. The Shedeur Sanders one or the Deion Sanders one about Shedeur Sanders. I just honestly, for one, the other part of that take that's so bad is Deion bringing up the fact that he's had jerseys retired as if Shedeur's career has been anything remotely
yeah.
like Deion's.
Yes.
Not even close. He made three arguments against himself in one paragraph.
Yeah.
It was astounding. It was really amazing. And him acting like, hey, a quarterback without a winning record at a school that didn't win a bowl game getting his jersey retired less than a year after he was done playing wouldn't be a story anywhere else.
Right, right, right.
Unless his name is Sanders. My God,
yeah.
That's a bad take.
It can be
yeah.
tough to take down that one, I think.
That's a really, really bad take.
Yep. All right, speaking of Shedeur, let's talk a little NFL draft. We'll talk Rockets in the final segment of the show, get you ready for the NBA playoffs starting on Sunday. The range in which Shedeur could go, and how does this factor in? How does this entire quarterback thing factor in with the Houston Texans. We've got that coming up next. All right, if you missed it, there's a new champion in Take-A-Mania, and his name is Deion Sanders, for his take on the controversy over the retirement of really his son's jersey. Travis Hunter, I think people get. He won the Heisman. He's an actual All-American. Shadur is just a good college quarterback who went 13-12 in two seasons.
13-13, including the bowl game.
I'm including the bowl game in there.
And on a team that didn't even win a bowl game while they were there.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And he wins it mostly because every single thing Deion said in defending the situation was the perfect argument against Shadur Sanders getting. It was pretty impressive. And just like Deion's owning himself every time with almost everything he said.
Yeah, he's making the argument against himself. It was, which made it an extremely poor take, and the new reigning defending champion of our Friday staple at 9 o'clock, Take-A-Mania. Now, speaking of Shadur, I think Shadur is to me, easily the most intriguing story going into round one next Thursday. Just did a workout yesterday for the Giants, which still leaves open the possibility he could go as high as 3. But Adam Schefter said yesterday, man, the range inside which Shadur Sanders could go in the draft next week is really wide.
If the Giants aren't taking Shadur at 3, and if the Saints aren't taking Shadur at 9, now let's start to think and wonder about where
Pittsburgh?
Shadur Sanders is going to go in the, well, Laura, that is the spot that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
But would there be a team that jumps up in front of the Steelers? Do they value Shadur Sanders enough to do that? Would the Giants go ahead and take him at 3? Because right now, it certainly feels like his range, which is a wide range, wider than most players in a draft, is 3-21. And I don't like the chances of him going 9. That's the way I think it's shaping up as we head a week out.
No, we should just, again, and Schefter did it, but just to attach teams to these numbers that are getting thrown around. Giants are picking 3rd. Saints are picking 9th. The Steelers are picking 21st. These are all spots in the draft that Shadur Sanders has been mocked to by various people. What's really interesting, Seth, we spent some time on Aaron Rodgers today a couple of times. These two stories are kind of intertwined almost in that Aaron Rodgers is a guy who a lot of people think has a high chance, if he does play football, goes to the Steelers. But the Steelers might need to figure something out next Thursday. If they watch that interview with McAfee where Rodgers still doesn't know what he's doing, doesn't sound like a guy who's making a decision anytime soon, they might need to move on. And if Shadur Sanders is there, either take him at 21 or move up and go get him.
And the whole thing is that it's just kind of a weird year in the draft where Shadur Sanders isn't like a slam dunk type of guy that would typically be a top 3 pick in any draft or anything like that. But he is very much enough of a prospect that it's not dumb to take him first, second, or 3rd overall, depending on what the draft class is like. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like drafting Desmond Ridder in the first round or something.
Need a quarterback. You know,
right. And it's also just, and it's a year where kind of the way the dominoes have fallen, it makes sense that he could go any number of places. So it's as much about him being not a slam dunk, oh yeah, this guy's a top 3 pick, but then also when you lay out the QB situations of everybody else in the draft, it could be anywhere all over the place. I would feel more comfortable if you could go back in time, and this is hard to do knowing how it all worked out, but I'm trying to think, like, let's say Shadur Sanders was it 2021 when Trey Lance was drafted?
If
it's 2021, Trevor Lawrence goes, then Zach Wilson goes, try to ignore your hindsight. Yeah. But then at number 3, if you had heard that the 49ers traded up after 2 quarterbacks were off the board already for Shadur Sanders, I think I'd still be skeptical of how much they gave up to trade there.
They gave up a lot, yeah.
But I would rather, I think everything else being equal, I think I would have felt more comfortable with Shadur Sanders at that point. Like, regardless of how much they traded in that draft, give me Shadur Sanders over Trey Lance.
Yeah, for sure. Well, remember Trey Lance had hardly played any college football because of COVID the year before. And
I mean, that's a tough draft class, because then you still got Justin Fields and Mac Jones.
Well,
remember when the
Niners didn't make that trade on draft night. They made that trade up like several weeks before the draft, because the rumors were that it was going to be Mac Jones they were going to take at 3 for a long time.
Right,
they ended up taking Trey Lance. Turns out
that's a loaded. Now you could also, but by the same token, I can look at that draft class and say, Yeah, Shadur might have been the sixth quarterback taken that year.
Yeah, yeah. Like the people really like Justin Fields, I think, was taken, you just said, at 11 right there by the Bears.
The hard thing with Shadur is that a lot of what I think people are banking on with him, the things that he does well, are things that are hard to project in the NFL because his anticipation, his football IQ, his ability to read coverages, those are the kinds of things that people felt highly about Drew Brees at the time. It's just hard to know, especially back then when Drew Brees was playing in a spread. Like, all right, how's that translate to the NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Shadur's got a little bit of that flavor to him.
I thought this was interesting. This was Dan Orlovsky talking, the exact topic you're talking about, Seth, like how hard it is to evaluate how hard it is to evaluate quarterbacks, period, as far as going from college to pro, but specific with Shadur Sanders on why it was so tough. He said this is the toughest quarterback to evaluate in the 7 years that he's been doing TV.
QB3 is closer to QB2 for me than QB2 is to QB1. I like Shadur. I think Shadur does a lot of good stuff on tape. It's hard to find stuff that you're wowed on tape. Like I'd go with my list of stuff that I liked Shadur. Number one, he rhythm, timing, and ball placement are really good. Not great, but they're really good. Rhythm, timing, ball placement. He's tough as nails, tough as heck. I think he climbs the pocket and navigates the pocket when he wants to pretty well. The holdup for me with Shadur, and I've said this, Ross, is it's the hardest evaluation that I've had to do with these quarterbacks in the 7 years that I've been in TV, because 50% of his snaps are at or behind the line of scrimmage, it feels like. You just want your screen after RPO after screen after RPO. And so you're sitting there going, you're not taking a guy early because of that. You know, while it's operated well, you're not drafted a quarterback early because of that. So half of his snaps throw away. A quarter of a snaps, the offensive line pass protection is so freaking bad that you're like, I don't care who you are, you're not doing anything with it. So then you're, for me, I'm 25% of the snaps I get to really try to like dive into and really figure out.
I thought that was interesting. You know, like that you just crumple up and throw away, you know, 75% of the tape because it's just, yeah, it's stuff that doesn't translate at all to the NFL.
And it doesn't translate. And yet at the same time, it's, you know, you can't quite use it as a specific knock against them that was what worked in that offense, especially on a team where you don't have a good offensive line. I mean, that was one of the questions about Pat Mahomes. It was, boy, they really ran a lot of screens and quick game and everything and short stuff. So I don't know about that.
Yeah. I think if you're the Texans and you're a Texan fan, because you're probably a Texan fan right now listening, going, well, we're not going to draft Shadur. Why do I care? I do think on draft night next week, there's two things to watch for. One is do any of the tippy top prospects start to drift into the teens that the Texans or you as a Texan fan may want in on? You and I talked earlier in the show, like Texans are sitting at 25. Back in 2017, they traded a future first to move from 25 to 12 to draft a quarterback, Deshaun Watson. What if Tyler Warren were sitting there at 12 and the Texans chose out of nowhere, it would feel out of nowhere, to upgrade their tight end room and trade a first? That would be fun. I think the other thing, though, relative to quarterbacks is if you're a Texan fan, you're rooting for these quarterbacks like Shadur Sanders, like Jackson Dart, to be slipping into the 20s, because I think there's a lot of fans out there, maybe not necessarily the ones that are at the draft party that night, because that would be a bit of a popcorn fart for the Texans to not make a pick when you go there. But for the betterment of the team overall, I'm kind of rooting for there to be one or two of these quarterbacks, or over the next few days for the Milrose or the Shucks of the world to get some first round buzz, to where that 25th overall pick, you can kind of eBay that thing. You know, you can put the for sale sign in front of that 25th pick and see what it is people are offering. And especially because when people are looking to move up to go get a quarterback, there's a chance for you to charge an inflated price for that. You know?
Yeah.
That's the thing I think if you're a Texan fan to be watching and hoping for is that Shadur starts to slip and nobody touches Jackson Dart till you get to the 20s. And maybe some other guys are getting some Milrose at the draft. You know, Jalen Milrose is going to be there. Maybe he's thinking he's going to be a first-round pick, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the amount of just the quarterback rankings and whatever seemingly have shifted and changing all over the place. If you look at the Texans, the team's immediately behind them to where somebody might want to leapfrog up in front of them. The Rams are really interesting.
Yes.
I mean, the Rams are immediately after him. At some point, Matt Stafford's wife is going to let him retire, and they're going to want to do something. Ravens and Lions, probably not. Commanders, hell no. I mean, the Rams are really the team that teams might look that, okay, we got to, we got to jump up to 25 if we want to get this quarterback.
Well, or every team picking at the top of the second round, you know, that so they're all bad teams that didn't want to pick a quarterback with the second or third pick, but they'll do it with the 25th pick if they can move up nine spots.
That part of it actually plays out really well. If you look at after the Steelers, look at the teams before and after the Texans that don't really are definitely not going to want a quarterback. It goes Chargers, Packers, Vikings, then the Texans, and then immediately after the Texans, you have the Rams, and then immediately after the Rams, the Ravens and Lions. I mean, so the Rams are the one team in that whole window that might really want to take a quarterback, especially a guy that might be a bit of a project for a year or two.
Yeah.
That's a sweet spot for somebody to trade up to.
So the so those bad teams at the top of the second round, you know, the Browns pass on a quarterback in the first round. Well, they may call up the Texans just to leapfrog, to your point, leapfrog the Rams there and get up to 25. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on, and it would make the sense. I mean, that's generally the way it goes at the back half of the draft, the first round anyways, because those are better teams. So after the Rams, it's Ravens, Lions, Commanders, Bills, Chiefs, Eagles.
Yeah.
Like, the Rams are the only team smack dab in that 10 pick scenario that might be interested in a quarterback.
Boy, and that would be fun if it was Cleveland moving up to 25 and you trade back with them, and then you have the first pick of the second round, which is kind of a fun spot because you got all day on Friday. You basically have the first overall pick again. It's just, you know, the first round is done, and now you've got the first overall pick of what's left of the draft.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that. Yeah. If the Texans traded back and got 33, that makes for a fun radio show.
I like the scenario you're painting.
That's
it,
man. Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yeah, for us. Do it for us,
Do it for us, Quarterback
trade
slippage.
Back Jackson Dart at 25 to the Cleveland Browns.
Amen,
thank
brother.
You.
Amen. All right, final segment coming up. Let's get ready for this Rocket series. Top storylines here for this series with the Golden State Warriors. Really, it just comes down to a whole lot of hate. But we'll talk about that. And Fred Van Vliet on one of his had a great cut on one of, I think, one of the more pivotal Rockets in this series coming up. We'll discuss that coming up next. Texter brings up a very valid point. The Browns are never going to trade with the Texans ever again. Not this GM. Andrew Berry, probably not. Oh, that's funny.
They should have, as we pointed out the other day, if they had just traded for Davis Mills. Davis Mills has almost the identical production to Deshaun Watson over the course of the last several years.
That's
since
right.
the trade, since the Deshaun Watson trade. Deshaun beats him out by a little bit in most of the big categories. But when you compare
not
production to amount of money paid, they really should have traded for Davis Mills.
Production to number of settled lawsuits, yes.
Well, and Deshaun was playing on a more talented roster than Davis Mills.
100%, not even close. Yeah.
I mean, the 2022 team that Davis amassed most of those statistics with was not nearly as talented as the Browns roster the last couple
years. No, that's why they traded for Deshaun. They thought he was the finishing touches on a it's just funny to think back and look.
Davis Mills has been pretty much the same quarterback as Deshaun Watson.
Yes, with way
for 200 and about what $30 million less or 220 less.
Yeah, about 220 less and a whole lot less headaches. Yes. This was Fred Van Vliet on Draymond Green's podcast talking about Steven Adams. What kind of teammate has Steven Adams been?
Steven, first, I would say just the ultimate guy. Just like the ultimate guy you want on your team. Just like he just do it all, bro. Like he calms the locker room. He's just a presence. He's strong as hell. He on this carnivore diet right now. He might eat two ribeyes for breakfast and a
Jesus.
Wow. 44-ounce porterhouse on the plane, like
Aquaman.
No size.
That's
like,
real Aquaman. Hey, like real Aquaman.
Hey, like no size, no nothing. Like just straight steak. You know what I'm saying? Like he just different. he's a real live caveman, bro. Like he just different and super strong, but super smart. Really just a selfless guy, all about the team, great screener. Great vet just to have, you know what I'm saying? Like you going into an alley fight, you want a Steven Adams on your side, you know what I'm saying? For whatever the situation brings, like I've loved having him around.
The fight I need to see now after that very last comment, Steven Adams versus Denico Autry. They've both been labeled now as dark alley guys. In a dark alley.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, the Steven Adams, I was curious. I got to read up more, like ask him a question about the carnivore diet. Because usually what happens is, for those of you who don't know, carnivore diet is basically nothing but meat and fish and eggs. And you don't eat vegetables, fruit, grains, anything else. It's like an extreme paleo. And usually when athletes do something like that, they kind of modify it a little bit. They might be way lower carb than most athletes, but they modify it a little bit. It's very rare that you find one. You know, LeBron messed around with it 1 year, and within a month into the season, he'd gained 20 pounds.
Yeah.
He was like, no, I got to get back on more normal stuff. So I'd be really fascinated if he actually strictly adhered to it. Usually athletes will be like, well, I'm carnivore, but immediately before and immediately after workouts, I'll have a boatload of carbs.
Have you ever tried it?
Real briefly, the big thing about the carnivore diet is that when your body's adjusting to it, you got to plan for bathroom issues.
That's
I got to get to the
switch.
Toilet immediately.
That's a big shift. So aside from the carnivore diet part of that, I like that cut because it's one of the vets on the team talking about another one of the vets on the team. Look, this is an inexperienced basketball team in terms of just the sheer number of players that have never played a playoff game. But the experience between Steven Adams, Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, I'll throw Jeff Green in there too because Jeff Green's going to play a role at some point in one of these games. It feels like one out of every six games, Jeff Green comes in and scores 16 points on 5 of 8 shooting from 3-point range, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the mix, this Rockets team is being labeled as an inexperienced basketball team. They've got a lot of inexperienced players, but they do have a lot of high-level playoff experience in the rotation with this team.
Right, yeah, it's everything that you were hoping they were going to build is a good blend of veterans and youth and the veterans that can give the right guidance to the youth. And with Udoka as their coach, I don't worry about that at all. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Steven Adams definitely does a modified version of the carnivore diet.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm looking at a picture from a few months ago where his meal is, it's a bowl of ground beef, but then he's got fruit and toast with no jelly on it.
So the thing Fred VanVleet was most fascinated with was he doesn't eat any sides.
He does. He probably eats a lot of his meals just meat, but it's not like he's not having any carbs whatsoever.
But I feel like the sides that Fred is referring to there may not be like fruits and grains. It's like lobster mac and cheese. Like when you think of a porterhouse, a decadent porterhouse, I always think of like, oh, the mashed potatoes, the cream spinach. No sides.
No sides. He might just mean no fries or anything with that. Yeah.
Especially when your owner's Tillman Fertitta. It'd be very easy to get good sides on the plane, I would imagine.
No, I'm intrigued by it because he has a Greek yogurt next to him.
Oh, that's you're all over that.
I think that's not the carnivore diet, you know, as far as they described it. But he's definitely probably way more of a paleo type of dude. Yeah.
What's your favorite storyline for this series coming up with the Warriors? What do you have other than just it's Rockets basketball? They're back in the playoffs.
What are you most excited? For this series, Amen Thompson, and I think his ability to be a gigantic X factor when tasked with just him taking care of Stephon Curry. That man, he has a chance. If the Rockets win this series, to be an overnight sensation in NBA circles. A lot of people around basketball really appreciate and recognize how good he was this year. But in terms of the fan base at large, if he becomes the guy that's the Steph Curry killer, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Well, it's and you know, keep in mind, again, he held him to 3 points. Amen Thompson, it was a group effort, but Amen Thompson did a lot of the heavy lifting in that game. 1 for 10. The only field goal was, and I watched the highlights of this game yesterday, the one from 2 weeks ago when the Rockets beat them, just because I want to go back and relive that a little bit. The only field goal he hit was a circus three with like 2 seconds left in the half. Like, conventionally, because that wasn't conventional, Steph Curry got nothing in that game.
Right, yeah,
like,
if he hits the circus shots, he hits the circus shots.
Yeah, like,
you know, you accept that. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
That part of it. And then the other side of it, because it's, if we're talking about just this series, Amen Thompson, I think throughout the playoffs, for me, it's Jalen Green. I think in Jalen Green becoming a guy that's become so much more judicious and patient and, you know, has a good feel for when to kick it out and when to drive and all that, doing it in the playoffs, that's just that next step in the progression. Mm-hmm. So playoffs in general, it's Jalen Green for me, and obviously Şengün, but Jalen Green especially because of the maturity aspect.
Yeah, I like that take. Jalen, big picture, amen against Steph in this series. I like that a lot. I like the Ime Udoka storyline in this series. You know, and the fact that he's going against Steve Kerr, who's been viewed as probably the gold standard for head coaches, or at least in that conversation the last several years, and it was Kerr that beat Ime Udoka 3 years ago in the finals. there's so much wrapped up in the Ime Udoka part of this, between how it ended with him in Boston, the hiring of him here, how quickly he's engineered the turnaround with the Rockets, and then it's against the Warriors. Like, the Ime redemption story in this is fun for me.
What was the bigger challenge for a young head coach? Let's say the Rockets go on to glory and greatness in the next few years.
Yeah.
What was a bigger challenge? Steve Kerr, who took over a team that was already really good and had a couple of star players in Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, who are just good, solid dudes, but then also had to deal with the headache Draymond. That is Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Versus Ime Udoka, who came in and took a team that wasn't good at all and also had a boatload of young guys where he had to completely transform.
That's an
culture.
Interesting one. Okay, because the conventional wisdom in any sport is it's easier to go from bad to good than it is to go from good to great.
Yeah.
Right? And he took over a talented team, but Mark Jackson never got that team anywhere. And Mark Jackson was the coach before him. That's a great question. I think getting the Warriors you win four championships, and I know Kevin Durant was part of two of them also, and you're managing the Draymond Green element the whole way. I think Steve Kerr, now that Ime Udoka has done it this quickly, is and Ime wasn't there for the years where they're stacking up all those picks. You know, he's coming in on the back end of that. I would say just what Steve Kerr did, just because it's involved so many championships, and then they went and won another one kind of after those glory days were over. You know, there was 4 years apart between championships. But what Ime's done is incredible.
Just as far as the actual getting to that point.
Yeah.
If they win let's say the Rockets win a championship in the next couple of years.
If they win a championship, sorry, I misheard you. I mean, if the Rockets go on to have success like the Warriors, then it's what Ime did for sure. Yeah.
I don't mean like that they have to win as many championships or anything. It's just the actual initial turnaround. I mean, the Warriors were in the playoffs the two previous years. Mm-hmm. They weren't a bad team whatsoever, but then they won the finals the very first year with Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
I hope this is a debate we can have.
And Curry's ankles got better along the way too. That matters, you know.
Yeah.
They added a league MVP.
They did for two of them. Yeah. They added Kevin Durant.
We're just talking about the initial turnaround or the initial burst.
That voice is Reggie Atatula. Luke Morrow in for John Lopez today. What's up, Luke?
What's going on? I guess Durant wouldn't count for Ime's turnaround in Houston then, because you're talking about just the initial.
Parallel.
So he has to win the championship this year.
Without Durant,
Ime's would be more impressive, even though it took him more years to get the championship.
Yeah. Sorry, Ime, these are the rules, and they're unflinchingly rigid. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, you got to win it this year if you want to win the radio debate between which was the more impressive the coaching injection.
It's all about the debate on Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah.
Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing each and every day. There is Sans Lopez. There's still a question of the day.
Yeah, right? He didn't take it with him, thankfully. I thought he might have, but no, he didn't. All right, so inspired, obviously, by Lee Corso giving us one last hurrah.
Yeah.
What player would you like to see come back for one more go?
So is this is where I need a little clarification on this.
I have a feeling that I'm still also trying to figure out the parameters, so I kind of wanted to leave it open so that we could figure it out together.
Okay, so there's no
Tom
rules.
Brady.
Interesting. You want Tom Brady to come back.
Yeah, somebody got injured on a really good team.
Oh,
and let's say it's headed into the playoffs this year. And it's not going to work because it'd have to be the Raiders. It would have to be the Raiders.
He had to quickly.
Geno Smith gets injured right before the season.
Can you imagine?
And they say, you know what? We've looked at the options, and Tom Brady, who's been dialed into football by being both with this team and watching it, and he's in shape. We want Tom Brady.
No, the best would be, Seth, if all of a sudden, like, that would be the tell. Like, all of a sudden, like, some quarterback gets hurt, and then on Tuesday, like, there's a sliver of the Raiders on eBay for like $1.2 billion.
Trying to divest.
Yeah, like, I
got to
get rid of this, man. I want to go play. Yeah. I want to go play.
He'd be Will Ferrell in semi-pro.
He would. Yes. Yeah. Jackie Moon. mine would be, as long as we're playing, like, with no rules as far as, like, it sounds like I could just sprinkle pixie dust on somebody who's retired and they could come back.
I would be interested in such things.
I would sprinkle pixie dust all over Andre Johnson, so that he could come back and play with this version of the Texans, with C.J. Stroud as his quarterback, with his friend D'Amico Ryans as the head coach, and we would get to see Andre Johnson celebrated, not only for being a Hall of Famer, but potentially At least somebody who made an AFC title game.
If I limited it to only one game, though, would you still? I was thinking about it. I feel like if you go over entirety of a season, that changes the answer. But I do wonder, like, if it's one game only, almost like the August 30th one show, one last college game day for Lee Corso, would that shift it at all?
One game.
It doesn't have to be, but I'm just kind of thinking about
it. No, it would be Andre
Johnson.
It would still be that. You popped into my head under any rules.
You just want to see the 500-yard game from
him? Yeah, man. I like Seth's answer. That Tom Brady answer is a good one, man.
Yeah, if it were more realistic, something that could happen. Yeah, recently retired guy. That would be interesting.
I mean, that's something that I feel like Andre's not in football shape. You would need to sprinkle pixie dust or he'd have to really go through some workouts. Like, I do feel like Tom Brady is still staying in some semblance of football shape, you know?
Yeah. It would be, it would be fascinating. And it wouldn't be anything that marred his legacy or anything, other than if he, like, got physically maimed. Yeah. To where, like, you know, he had a disfigured face for the rest of his life or something.
I'd be here for that.
Any concern that he would look like final season Broncos Peyton Manning?
I mean, that was still in his final season. He had 1 year after the Super Bowl?
He had 2 years after the
Super
Bowl.
I love that you've memory hold that.
He had it's 2 years. Like, well, I think they made the playoffs. I think they went 8-9 and made the playoffs.
That was defense carrying the husk.
He didn't look great. And that was the year he was going through all the divorce stuff, too.
I would want it, if it wasn't going to go well, I would hope that in his uniform he looked the same way Joe Montana and Emmitt Smith do in those commercials where they're putting the uniforms on.
Little belly.
It's not a good look, man.
Yeah. It's like me wearing this Rockets jersey right now.
Yeah.
Dude does not look like a basketball player right there. All right, well, fellas, have a great show.
Thanks.
Seth, antibodies to you. Enjoy the weekend, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, for some reason I thought Reginald said Seth. I was waiting. Okay, antibodies to you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to figure out a way to be a heel by Monday.
Nice. Yes. Cheap heat.
WrestleMania, I forgot that's happened this week.
WrestleMania, dude, Sunday is going to be a Sunday night. Astros got pushed to Sunday night against the Padres. Rockets Sunday night.
Are you going to be okay?
Cody versus Cena. I'll be fine. I got the setup, man.
That's
I'm
true.
Good
you
to
do
go.
Have the
yeah, no, this is what TV. It's built for. It's built for like the Deluxe 3 TV is built for like 20 days out of the year. That's one of them.
I love it.
For sure.
I love it.
All right, we are done. We are out of time. You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2, Houston and Odyssey Sports Station.